Good morning, church. The morning scripture will be coming from Luke. That is Luke, the fifth chapter, verses 30 through 31. And the word of God reads, "But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do ye eat and drink with the publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering, saying unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. May the Lord have a blessing to his word.
Jesus was found sitting with sinners. The religious folks of that day went up to him and said to his disciples, Why is he sitting with sinners? Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. I came to call those that are on that dead end road, going down that dead end road to repentance. Matthew 7, verse 13. Jesus said, enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way which leadeth to destruction. See, that way of destruction, that way of loneliness, everybody go in that direction, very powerful. The way of destruction, many go in there. See, many participate of its fruits. It's just like Satan put a fruit in front of you, and you bite into it. Oh, yes, it's sweet. But it leaves your soul spiritually thirsty. Many go in there at. Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. That man that's headed down that direction, I want him to repent, turn around, and come this way. I received a letter a few short years back. It was from my older brother. He sent me this letter, and he was playing with me. He said, Montrell, he told me, I love you. He said, please do not leave the church, whatever you do. He said, we both grew up in the church. I left the church. I ended up going down this dead end road where Satan nudged me to reach out for them riches, and I was reaching out for them, but I was reaching out for that happiness, but he took my joy. He took my family. I drunk just one sip, and I ended up alcoholic. One puff, now I'm addicted to drugs. He said, whatever you do, watch it. He said, do not leave the church. And I'll never forget that letter. And he went on and took his own life, my older brother. But the thing that struck me the most about this letter is when I looked at it, it was all crinkled up. Looked like it got wet. Then I realized he was crying when he wrote it. See, these were the tears of a sinner. The man who went down this dead end road, thinking that happiness, joy, love, peace was in that direction, and it ended up being self-destruction. Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous to repentance. I came to call that sinner. That's what I want. That sinner to repent. The title of this sermon today, this morning, is The Tears of a Sinner. The Tears of a Sinner. Turn with me to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. We'll pick up with verse number 36. Luke chapter 7. I hope you got your Bibles with you. Luke chapter 7. Verse number 36. And it picks up and reads, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. So this Pharisee invited Jesus over to his house. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, when she, which was a sinner, this sinner woman, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box full of goods. See, she knew Jesus, she went and grabbed her box of goods, and she went to meet Jesus. Now, how did she know Jesus? Well, if you read in Luke chapter 7, verse number 16. It says, there came fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen among us, and that God has visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the regions round about. So she heard. See, faith come by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. She heard. What did she hear? Oh, she heard of the grace of God which bringeth salvation has appeared before all men. She heard of Christ. So she ran and got her goods. See, faith come by hearing. Do you remember? See, faith come by hearing. Now, let's look at it this way. The grace of God that she heard about, which bringeth salvation, has appeared before all men. Titus 2, verse number 11. She heard of that grace. But the grace teaches us. Denominational friends will tell us that grace, oh, grace, by grace you're saved. You don't have to do anything. Just come to the mourner's bench. See, but grace teaches. The grace of God which bringeth salvation has appeared before all men, Jesus Christ, teaching us. Do you remember Noah? In Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. And it repented the Lord that he made man of the earth, and it grieved him at his own heart in the next verse. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, Noah saved? Is he saved? No, he's not saved. Noah found the grace. The denominational friends will tell us, you saved. By grace, you saved. No. Noah, make thee an ark of gopher wood. The end of all flesh has come before me. Make it this high, this big, this great, one window. If you want to be saved from this destruction, here are the means of salvation. See, grace teaches us. The means of salvation. What about Rahab? You remember her? Mm-hmm. Rahab in Joshua chapter 3. What happened? Moses took his people out of Egypt. Now, when he took them out of Egypt, Rahab said in Joshua chapter 3 and verse number 10, for we have heard of the God of Israel. How that he went in with a mighty hand and took out the Israelites from Pharaoh with many signs and wonders, and then through the Red Sea, he split in half. For we have the grace of God which bringeth salvation has appeared before Rahab. Rahab, you want to be saved? See, the grace teaches us. We're on our way to come take this land, Jericho, as well. See, she heard, but the grace had to teach her. Rahab, make you a scarlet rope, tie it and throw it out a window. When we come through this area to destroy you, your house shall be saved. See, grace teaches,
yes,
the means of salvation. Now, when you hear the word of God, when you hear the word of God, it should cause you to have godly sorrow. When you hear the word of God, you should have godly sorrow for the life that you've been living going down that dead end road when you hear the word of God.
Remember in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38, when Peter preached the first gospel sermon, in verse number 36, he says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know it surely, that God has made the same Jesus whom you had crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said, men and brother, what must we do? When you hear the word of God, how does it make you feel? Mm-hmm. What about, let's get back to Rahab. Rahab said, for we have heard, faith come by hearing. We have heard of God. Then she said in Joshua chapter 3 and verse number 11, our hearts melt within us. See, when you hear the word of God, it should cause you to be pricked. It should cause your heart to crumble a little bit. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 23, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Mm-hmm. Luke 18, Jesus said, take heed therefore how you hear.
Yes, sir.
See, your heart should be pricked. It shouldn't get cut. See, grace teaches us. When we hear the word of God, it should teach us. It teaches us, and our hearts should have godly sorrow. What about the disciples? In Luke 24 and verse number 32, they said, did not our hearts burn within us?
Mm-hmm.
When he spoke to us by the way, the word of God.
Did not our hearts burn within us?
What about Paul? Paul.
He said in chapter 9, it was a light all around Paul. And he heard a voice from heaven. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saul said, who art thou, Lord? When Paul heard, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecuted, he must have, oh, I can't believe it. I persecuted Jesus. I made havoc on the church. I cast innocent men in prison. I was responsible for the death of Stephen. His next statement was, Lord, what would thou have me to do? You hear the word, believe it. Godly sorrow is caused by hearing it. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. What will thou have me to do? Now watch it. What will thou have me to do? Look, that word will in the Greek is philo, which means like, not my will, Lord. Thy will. What will? My will got me in this situation I'm in today. What will thou have me to do? I want to do your will, Lord. What will thou have me to do? Godly sorrow worketh repentance. Remember Rahab? Let's get back to her. The prostitute. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. So when she heard that godly, when she had heard the word, she had her heart pricked and melt within her. Joshua 3:11. She repented. How did she repent? Well, she took the men and she hid the men in the spies so that nobody could see them. See, godly sorrow worketh repentance, a change of mind, a change of character, a change of lifestyle. You going down that dead end road, you turn around and you go this way. She hid the spies. And also, she was a member of the nation of Israel. When they came into that land, she was a part of that number. How do we know? Well, if you go to Hebrews 11:31, it said, by faith, Rahab was saved. So she was a part of that number. By faith, she was saved, but that grace which appeared, which brought us salvation, was appeared before all men, has taught her the means of salvation. Don't listen to your denominational friends telling you, oh, by grace you're saved. Just put your hands up on the TV and you'll be saved. No. See, grace teaches you the means of salvation. Now, godly sorrow worketh repentance. This is where I believe most Christians have the hardest job in the whole scheme of redemption, the repentance part. It's easy getting that water. See, but the repentance, you gotta get yourself together first. Repent first, then get baptized. Do you remember in Matthew 3:7, John the Baptist was baptized in the Jordan River. Then he saw the end of the line, the Pharisees. They had their Pharisee robes on. He said, you generation of vipers, who told you of the judgment to come? Who told you of the doom that's ahead of you? He said, bring fruits worthy of repentance. They wanted to go down a Pharisee and come up a Pharisee. Bring fruits worthy of repentance. See, some of us, we get baptized maybe because our mama told us to. Some of us get baptized maybe because, you know, I'm about to get married. My wife want me to get baptized. That's why we get in the water, but we stop. We don't look at repentance. That's the main key. See, 1 Peter 3:21. Likewise, baptism also saved, not to put away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. That's what God wants you to do. Some people might say that baptism is crazy. When you put that rope out the window, that looks crazy, but that's how she got saved. That's what God wants you to do, but for you, you need to repent. God, Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous. My whole purpose for coming is to call the sinners to repentance. Yes, sir. Not just baptism. John preached a whole ministry on just repentance. I came to call the sinners to repentance. Let me give you an example of what repentance really is. Turn with me to Acts 16. Acts 16:23. Now, Paul and Silas are preaching the gospel. Sanhedrin council found them and they beat them.
Now, verse number 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison. So they whooped them, many scars on their back, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them in the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. They were singing, and the prisoners heard it. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing that the prison doors opened, he drew out his sword and would kill himself, supposing that the prisoner had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called it late and sprang in and came trembling and fell before Paul and Saul and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And he was saved. That's how he was saved, right? No, let's keep reading. And they spoke unto him the word of the Lord. You got to hear the gospel first. All that was in his house. Is he saved yet? No. Let's keep reading. He heard the gospel. He believed it, because it said that in verse number 31. Now, did he repent? Let's read. And he took them the same hour of the night, and he washed the scars. The same stripes that he put on his back, he repented by washing them same scars. See, that's repentance. Change of mind, change of action. Well, he didn't get baptized, did he? Oh, let's keep reading. And he was baptized, he and all his household, straight away. See, repentance is the principal thing. All of it is principal. But we have to repent. We can't just get dumped in the water and go out here and live like we used to live. Know ye not, as many as us were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death, like as Christ was raised up by the glory of the Father, we shall also rise up and walk in newness of life. Romans 6, verse number 3. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built in him, and established in the faith in which you have been taught, abounding or growing in that faith with thanksgiving. That's repentance. Look, for the grace of God, which bringeth salvation, has appeared before all men, teaching us that we should resist, deny, ungodliness, and the worldly lust, like the stuff on TV. We see football, we see that alcohol, we go to the bars, we hang out, we just there though. Resist worldly lust, and we should live sober, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's what the grace of God bringing, and guess what the grace of God taught us. Now let's get back to Luke chapter 7, verse number 38. Luke 7, let's get back to the story. Verse number 38. Now, verse number 37. Behold, a woman in the city, she was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meeting the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet, behind him weeping. See, she looked at her sinful state. She understood that she was going down that dead end road of no return. She couldn't do anything but cry. Sometimes that's all you gotta do. I don't know what else to do. I don't know what's way to turn. She stood behind him at his feet and she cried. See, she understood her sinful state, her condition in this world. Had godly sorrow. She stood at his feet and she cried. It reminds me of the publican. You remember that? And when it was a publican and the Pharisee, was saying all publicly, you know what he can do. But the publican said, look, he didn't look as much up to the heavens. He looked down and smote his chest and said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." Luke 18:13. You remember when Peter met Jesus? Peter met Jesus for the first time. And Jesus spoke the word to him. He fell at his knees. Luke 5, verse 8, he said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinner." See, Jesus came not for the righteous. He came to draw in the sinners. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, let me ask you, are you in sin? You don't have to answer, but think about it. Are you in sin? How does it make you feel? Do you have any godly sorrow? Do you have any remorse? Any remorse? Look, David had remorse in Psalms chapter 69. He said, when he was in sin, he said, "Save me, O Lord, for I am weary of my cry." He said, "My throat is dry." He was crying the tears of a sinner. My throat is dry. Psalm 6:6, he said, I am weary from crying all the night. I make my bed to swim. Many tears of a son. I water my couch with my tears. See, sin leaves you in that condition. Let's pick back up with the story. Now, verse number 38. And she stood at his feet behind him crying. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kiss his feet. Now, I don't know back then. Back then, they walked and they had sandals on. They didn't have Nikes and stuff like we got. So I'm pretty sure Jesus' feet were dirty. I'm pretty sure they might have had a smell to them. But she said, Lord, I don't have any water. I didn't go fetch none, but I give you my tears. I don't have no nice towel, Lord, but I give you my hair. I give you what I got. She denied herself. Any man come after me, Jesus said, let him deny himself. I give you what I got. I don't have much. She emptied herself. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 15, it said that the glory of a woman is her hair. She gave God her glory. She gave God the glory. I don't have much. I give you what I got, God. That's all. But that's all God wants. He wants a heart. See, what she exhibited was fruits worthy of repentance. Fruits worthy of repentance. Now, let me ask you a question. How are your fruits? When you hear of Jesus maybe coming to worship service, do you bring your goods with you like she did? She ran with her alabaster box and brought some goods. It's time to worship in service, do your husband got to wake you up or your wife got to wake you up? Are you always late? Do your husband got to, you know, get to the got to rush and make you, you know, all week late because she came with her goods ready to worship God. Amen. Or how about in your singing when you hear worship? Do you sing like this woman is pouring out her heart, or are you singing all quiet? What about your giving? I remember the lady with the two mics. She said, I don't have much, Lord. She had two mics, two pennies. But I give you all I got. Now the Pharisee gave a lot of money. I give you all I got. How are your fruits? Now let's pick up back with verse number 38. She kissed his feet and she anointed them with the ointment. Now, verse number 39. Now when the Pharisee which had bathed him saw it, he said within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, let's stop right there. So you mean tell me, you heard about the grace of God which bringeth salvation, appeared before our man, Jesus Christ. You heard about him. You invite him over. You witnessed all the miracles. In verse number 15, it said that he did miracles. The rumor went all the way out. You invite him over and you doubting him? This man, if he was a prophet, you doubting him? So why did you invite him over? Were you trying to trick him up in his speech? I remember when Pilate raised up Christ on the cross, he didn't say this man. He said, that's the man. Behold, the man. This man. If he was a prophet. Let's keep reading. Jesus said, you shall know me. John chapter 14, verse number 7. If you know me, then you'll know the Father. All right, let's keep reading. Verse number 38. He said, verse number 39, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman it is that touch him, for she is a sinner. So he looked at the old sinner lady, turned his nose up at her. She a sinner. She ain't got no business in here. Knowing Jesus' mindset, I came to call her. See, but this sinner walking up in here. If he known that she was touching her, he known she was a sinner, he'll cringe. You know who he sounds like? He sounds like some of us. Sometimes we are pharisaical Christians. Mm-hmm. We see people coming in, look at her dress. Mm-hmm. She's coming in here like that. See, maybe she need to come in here so you can teach her how to dress.
All right.
Look at her dress. Look at him. Look at y'all that. All them tattoos he got on him or whatever. Sometimes we can be pharisaical Christians. turn our nose up at people. Right. This lady or man might be going down their dead end path. And they just come in here just to get some hope. Maybe they can turn around and we love them and cherish them and bring them on and show them the fruits that we are getting Christ Jesus. But we turn our noses up at them. Mm-hmm. We're Pharisaical Christians when we do that. Man, a sinner coming in here like that. See, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 13, woe to you, and NIV has a little stronger kick. He said, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, ye hypocrites. Ye shut the door of the kingdom of heaven, or you shut the door of the church in men's faces. You yourself do not enter in, nor would you let others enter in who are trying to. Verse number 25, for you make clean the outside of the cup. You come to church looking all outside, look good. But inside you are dirty and filthy, is verse number 25. I hope we're not Pharisaical Christians. See, before you stone the sinner, he who has no sin, let him throw the first stone. You know, when God made us, He created the heaven and the earth. He barreled. That's the Hebrew word, barreled. He barreled the heaven and the earth. That means He spoke it out of clean air. He didn't even have to make it. See, but He made man. He didn't barrel man. He took dirt. Made man. See, man, we're dirty. We're sensual. We're fleshly. We're earthly. All of us are dirty. We're dirty. We can't look our nose down on people. We're dirty. Every man. We're not better than nobody. Look, but Craig, look nice. It's just a bag of dirt with a necktie on. Sorry to tell you. Bag of dirt with a necktie. I'm the same way. Yes, sir. Hey, ma'am, you look nice. You're just a bag of dirt with a dress on. That's it. We're dirty. Look, we all was trash before. We all used to be trash. We just got recycled. We're clean now. We just got recycled. That's it. We all was once trash. We can't look down on nobody. Paul said, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:10. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ came to call the sinners, whom I am chief. I'm chief of them. We all are dirty. That's not how Christ's kingdom should be ran. We should all love one another. Hold one another. One fall, you pick them up. You dust them off. Let's get back in this race. That's how Christ wants His kingdom to be. Yes, sir. We're not Pharisaical Christians. See, but this man said he knew that this woman was a sinner and he touches him, he wouldn't let her touch him. Now what Jesus said, verse number 40. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed, now let me back up real quick. He thought this. Now let's go back to 39. I just got to pull this point out real quick. It said, this man, he said, within himself, verse number 39. Now the Pharisee, when he had been and saw, he spoke within himself. So Jesus picked up on it, what he thought, number one. Now when the man spoke, when Jesus said, Simon, Jesus said, I have something to say to thee, Master, say on. Now he being phony. See that? He said, this man earlier, this man, if he was a prophet, now he's saying, Master, say on. See, that's how some of us are. Oh, we real pretty on the outside, but inside we're waving wolves. Master, say on. You just said it within yourself. You don't even think this man a prophet. Now let's go ahead and read. And Jesus said to him, Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee. Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had none to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which one of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, see thou this woman, I entered into your house, and you gave me no water for my feet. But she washed my feet with tears, and she wiped them with the hairs of her head. And she gave, and when I came in your house, you gave me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, has not stopped kissing me. My head with oil thou did not anoint. But this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same love little. And he said unto her, thou sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within himself, who is this that forgiveth sin also? And he said unto the woman, thou faith hath saved thee, go in peace. You see that? He said, thou sins are forgiven. And then he said, after her sins were forgiven, now you can go in peace. See, you can't go in peace if you're not a Christian because you got a backpack that's weighing you down for the sins. Amen. You can't go in peace until you do something for that sinful condition. Unless you let go of that backpack, take it off, then you can go in peace. Jesus said in Matthew 14:7, he said, I give you my peace, not the peace of the world. I give you my peace. Christians have Jesus' peace. I remember Mark chapter 4, verse number 28. There was a tempest raging, and the boat was about to capsize. It was wind blowing all over the place, and water was starting to get in the boat. And the men with Jesus were looking for Jesus. They went up, looking around. They saw Jesus sleep on a pillow. That's Jesus' peace. He's sleeping on a pillow. They woke him up and said, Jesus, wake up. He woke up. He said, what's going on? He said, don't you care not that we are about to die? He said, ye a little faith, peace be still. He stopped the rain and the water from falling. See, that's Jesus' peace. See, listen, in this walking life, see, the world, when the tempest is, when they're in this world and all of those tornadoes of life coming into them, see, they're frantic and they don't have no faith. See, Christians, we got Jesus' peace. We sleeping on a pillow. We sleep good at night. We ain't worried about what's going on with all that tempest and all the tornadoes in the world and stuff. We're sleeping good. We got Jesus' peace. It's Matthew 14, verse number 7. See, your soul long for peace when you're in sin. Do your soul long for peace? Look, Romans chapter 15, verse number 13. Paul said, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Do you remember in Acts chapter 4, verse number 51? Peter just got through preaching. They released him, told him, do not say nothing else in Jesus' name. He said, I will rather obey God rather than man. Now in chapter 4, verse number 51, they see him preaching again. So they took him, they beat him, they beat him, they beat him, they beat him. Him and all of the apostles. The apostles got up laughing. They happy, they excited, they fist bumping. Because they was excited. Why? Are they crazy? No, because they have Jesus' peace. They was excited to suffer the name of Jesus Christ. They were found worthy to suffer. They excited. They slapping fives. That's Jesus' peace. You know what? That's the peace that surpasses all understanding. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 7. You can't even explain it. You got men, even in here, that had surgery, getting ready to go under the knife, but they ain't scared, though. I got Jesus' peace. If you're not a Christian, you don't have Jesus' peace. Jesus said, I came to call the sinners to repentance. I want to give you my peace, not the peace of the world. That's Jesus' peace. Well, in my conclusion, I told you about my brother. He sent me this letter. He told me that do not leave Christ. You know, of course, he took his own life, but I wasn't able to write to him. But if I would have wrote back, I would have told him that Jesus is the way. See, if you want happiness, you got to go that way. You want peace, you got to go that way. You want a companionship, a family, a kingdom, a church, you got to go that way. You want love, you got to go that way. You want financial support, you got to go that way. I would have wrote down, brother, Jesus is the truth. And every other man a lie. Jesus is the truth. Look, Jesus is the word, John 1:14. The word is the truth, John 17:17. In John 8:32, Jesus said, look, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Set me free from what, Jesus? From experimentation. I don't want you to experience this dead, dying, dogish world. I'm going to set you free from experiments. I'm going to set you free from addictions. I'm going to set you free from drunkenness. I'm going to set you free from a child not having a father in the home. I'm going to set you free from that. God said, You shall know the truth. You shall know me. And the truth shall set you free. I would have wrote that down. I don't want to get emotional. I would have told him Jesus is the life. John 10:10. Jesus said, I came that you may have life. Mm-hmm. And that you may have it more abundant. Revelation chapter 4, 21. Revelation 21, verse number 4. He said, I will give you eternal life. He said, you shall never pass me. Nobody shall pluck you out of my hand. Look, he said, I will wipe every tear of the sinners. Every tear that the sinners shed, I will wipe. That's what Jesus said. I would have wrote that down. But I wasn't able to write it. Hopefully you get the message. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. P.S. I wrote that down too. Let me ask you a question. Are you ready for Friday? People say, what do you mean Friday? Are you payday? Friday's payday, right? Are you ready for Friday? What do you mean? Well, the wages of sin is death. The paycheck of sin is death. Are you ready for Friday? We all supreme before the judgment seat of Christ to get our paychecks. Are you ready for Friday? Well, why are you calling it Friday? Because there's going to be a lot of people frying in that day. Friday. Are you ready for Friday? A lot of men are going to be frying. I'm ready. And I hope you are. But if you're not, let the gospel of Jesus Christ, let it go in your heart. Let it work. Let this word be planted in good ground. Do like Rahab did. She repented. Paul, all the men in Acts, they repented. Get away from the world going down that dead end road. Turn around and come to Christ. I guarantee you'll be happy. You have Jesus' peace. Repent, truly repent. Don't go down and just come back up a sinner. Go down a sinner, come up a sinner. Repent. Confess in front of his audience. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I did it. I had no problem doing it. And get baptized for the remission of your sins. Or you can be clean. Just like Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. You can leave out of here in peace. Jesus said, I give you my peace. Just like he told her, your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. Come now while together we stand and sing.
Have thine affections been nailed to